What do Davante Adams, George Kittle, Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, and Amon-Ra St. Brown all have in common? Well, besides being some of the most reliable hands in the game of football, they're also the stars of the new Netflix series, Receiver. From the same team that brought you the show Quarterback, Receiver takes you deep inside the huddles, locker rooms, and personal lives of five of the best pass catchers and playmakers in the NFL. Catch Receiver on July 10th, only on Netflix.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Bruschi, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Tomorrow, we're going to have an even better episode than this one, as we're going to be looking at Hidden Gems, the new Adam Sandler movie chronicling a very stone Sandler forgetting where he placed his gems. Yeah, I thought about that one a long time last night. Or possibly the deep sleepers that you love to hear about. But today, we're going to have a show, and it's all about us. And if you like this show, please consider subscribing to it on all of your favorite platforms, like, review, and give us all that feedback. So we can keep improving the show. Follow us at Aaron Bruschi, at Dr. A, D-O-C-K-T-O-R-A. And then our news accounts at Ethos Fantasy NBA, at Ethos Fantasy NFL, at Ethos Fantasy BB. Also, we have a cool 4th of July promo. Very cool. It's 24% off for 4 months. And right now you can get an all-sport pass for $8 per month. And if you keep that active, you keep that price forever. And those prices most certainly will be going up. So today we're looking at our hottest takes from last season. So we'll have a couple that bombed, and then, you know, to pump ourselves back up a bit, we'll do a few more that hit. But before we do that, allow me to welcome in Steve, Dr. A. Alexander. Steve, are you ready to both embarrass and exalt ourselves?
Yes, I hope so. I'm not sure that I studied my failures quite long enough to make this completely entertaining, but I'm going to try.
The only way we can improve is to study and learn. It's about our learning of the lessons, you know, when we come out with these hot takes. I will typically have one per season that completely bombs. What's my pantheon of hot takes that have bombed? Well, there was the Myers-Leonard year. That was a thing. I had Pat Bev. This is one of the earliest versions of the B-150 when Pat Bev came on the scene. And I don't know what I did there. I got real loose with that one a long time ago, folks. I think those are the most embarrassing ones. I'll try to think of some more really super embarrassing ones from the past. But before I do that, BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball to golf to soccer, all the way to the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Get every stat, matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And then when the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get on a game of blackjack or poker, unwind with one of our over 150 slots. Head to the website today to get into the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online, the game starts here. Thank you, Micro Machines Man from my youth, for inspiring me to read those fast. Topics. You want to start with the bombs or the hits?
I'm ready for my bomb. Are you ready?
I am. I got four on my list, but I didn't want to talk about all of them. I just wanted to talk about a few. But
we did a podcast last year. Noah Rubin did it, and he actually came to my house. And then my buddy Zach was here, and another guy was here. There were four of us, and we were all talking about the upcoming NBA season last year. And Noah had five things we were gonna pick, and then we were gonna bet a Scherzi on that. And one of them was who's gonna lead the league in scoring. And my most embarrassing moment of last season was when I said Jordan Poole. And I don't think, as Kevin Spacey said in American Beauty, in the middle of the dinner freakout scene when he was yelling at his wife about not listening to Frank Sinatra at dinner every night. He's like, and I don't think I'm alone here. Well, I don't think I was alone there with Jordan Poole either, because a lot of people got suckered into, oh, Jordan Poole's going to Washington. Jordan Poole's going to take all the shots. Jordan Poole's going to be the man. I think we all forgot that Jordan Poole might be crazy. And he was really bad to start the season. He finally started putting up some decent numbers midway through and maybe towards the end. But he was nothing like I envisioned him being in Washington. I don't think I fully realized what the Jordan Poole package contains, which is kind of a freak athletically and great basketball player, but also somebody who may not be entirely focused on basketball.
Yeah, it's really funny when you get those vibes just kind of watching games the way we do. I mean, if I was in Golden State covering the team and I was in the locker room, you would get sort of a better picture. And if you're covering a team close up, you get to see, you know, the between the lines stuff. But when you're watching a guy from far away and it still screams, what the heck is this guy doing off the court? You know, like, how have you not gotten the mental piece figured out? Or maybe it's just the way he's talking. Even during interviews, I'm always just sitting there thinking, I think Jordan Poole has a lot of fun off the floor. Like, there's no other reason that he's not kind of, quote, getting it. And when Dre punched him, I bet it was kind of almost deserved, you know? So I don't know. Like, that's some of the stupidest basketball I've ever seen played. Maybe not the stupidest. And that's probably
pretty high up there, dude.
It's bad. It's bad. A lot of people went big with Jordan Poole. I don't know where you had him in fantasy leagues. You know, I faded him. I had him in the prior season super high, and I thought nine cat wise he wouldn't be as prone to turnovers as he ended up being. And my eight cat rank actually did really well. He did really well for my teams in eight cat, but he was just a disaster in nine cat. So I had dealt with the Poole underwhelmingness, because a lot of people play nine cat and they just thought that Jordan Poole was a total mess the year prior as well. And you know, he just kind of consistently got his numbers that season. I did recognize the flaws in the game, so I was able to get out of the Jordan Poole business this last season while everybody else was in. So yay me, I guess. I guess it's my turn, since I'm bragging about how I missed on the Jordan Poole experience. It's my turn for a bomb, I think. Did you have anything else you wanted to get off your chest about Mr. Poole, though? Did you get a Scherzi for somebody?
Nah, man, I think I'm good. I think we covered Mr. Poole enough. I am putting him on my never again list.
Ooh, yeah, never again list. I like that. I don't think I have one of those. I should, but I don't know if I have one. Who got a Scherzi? Did anybody win the Scherzi?
Noah never, either I won and he didn't tell me, or he won and he didn't collect. So I need to ask him about that. But I know he asked me, I got to pick who leads the league in assists, and I somehow said Luka, and he took Tyrese Haliburton and smoked me there. I had, he took Walker Kessler for blocks. I took Wemby, so I won that one. He beat me with Jordan Poole, so I don't.
Where are you at with, like, regular jerseys? Like, do you have a bunch of them, right?
Do you have
jerseys that you wear? Are you a regular NBA jersey wearing guy? You wear one?
I rarely, if ever, wear a jersey. Now, my daughter for Father's Day got me a a Braves jersey, like a real one, like an expensive one. And on the back, it says TBS Kid. And I grew up in Indiana watching TBS and the Braves on TBS. And so I've been a Braves fan, you know, my whole life because they were on TBS. So I think the TBS Kid Braves jersey is something I will wear. But the other ones, I pretty much are just hanging up. A lot of them are signed and stuff.
Thank God for TBS and the Braves. I actually grew up watching TBS and the Braves myself. They were really bad, I recall, back in those days.
Oh, but, horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, but TBS, like, made it happen. So we got to watch the Braves whenever you wanted.
You had TBS in Atlanta and WGN in Chicago, and WGN and WTBS also showed all the Bulls and Hawks games, which was awesome because I got to watch Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins every day. And that is, nobody ever talks about that, but WGN and TBS were life changers for a lot of people. And there's a lot of people who are NBA fans today because they got to watch those guys play when, you know, otherwise you had to wait for the like NBC game of the week or whatever on Sunday.
Yeah, I really just want to ask you about Dominique Wilkins because I feel like you probably have a Dominique Wilkins story somewhere in your bag. But I want to finish my point and say I just don't know about jerseys in general, like NBA basketball jerseys. I feel like going to a game in a jersey has just got to feel weird. I've never done it. Like, it's just got to feel weird. And then the jersey, I think, was built. I think they came up with that in response to this like, I think, you know, grown adults don't necessarily want to wear the jersey to an NBA game. It's you know, the little...
I can pull off a jersey. I cannot pull off a jersey. And if I was required to pull off a jersey, I would certainly have a t-shirt on underneath it. Now, these dudes that go to games with a jersey on without a shirt under it, like, more power to you, brother. I could never do that in a million. I couldn't do it.
That's where I'm at, you know. I think the jersey was. I'm almost like, I want the jersey back, man. And I don't know that I would think I would ever say that because when the jersey came out, I was pretty adamantly against it. The NBA really leaned into it for quite a bit. All right,
I like the jersey because they're like $30, and jerseys are $150.
Well, there is.
I'm cheap. I'm very cheap.
Hey, you know, some might call it frugal. Some might call the Mikal Bridges pick that I championed last season as a frugal attempt to get first round value. How's that for a pivot?
You just stole my guy. So thank you.
Oh, you bombed on him too, eh?
Yes.
Okay.
It's okay. Go ahead. Carry on.
Well, you know, I had him really highly ranked. I mean, And my ranks are cumulative ranks, so that's part of it. And I constantly, every season, got to remind people, these are cumulative ranks. I'm picking where they're going to finish at the end of the season. And Bridges has just been, like, building me, you know, mansions out here, you know, for real, like, totally. Mansions, everybody. But, like, he just constantly is great in cumulative value situations because he plays every game. And you would have thought, of course, that he would have been better as the number one guy. And we've talked a lot on this pod about how it didn't happen. I have other bombs that I think were, you know, probably more detrimental, like LaMelo Ball was as detrimental again for the second season in a row as anybody, really. And so I could lead with that, but Bridges is the one I think that really just got under everybody's skin the most. You know, I think people who drafted based on the B150 had Bridges everywhere. And if you were in a 9-cat format, especially, things just didn't go well. 8-cat, not so bad. I mean, you could get Bridges in the second round and he brought back 4th round value, I believe, without looking it up. And that's not going to hurt you. You know, it's not great. You know, you missed out on somebody that could have been really, really good. But I think that was the one that got underneath everybody's skin. It got underneath my skin because I really think there was a dynamic there. He probably knew he was going to be playing with New York at some point, you know, at some point in time during the season. And just kind of said, you know what? I want to play every game. I thought he was playing hurt. I think he just checked out mentally, and that wasn't really his brand. You know, he's always been sort of viewed as a guy that does the little things. You know, you always kind of watched him and appreciated his game, but not last year. I thought he played really poorly. So, yeah, that's my bomb. And you had him too, eh?
Yes. Yes, I did. I had Mikal Bridges pretty high too. I'm like, yeah, I thought Mikal Bridges was just such a well-rounded basketball player and such a well-rounded fantasy player. Like, what could go wrong? They're going to give him the keys to the car and let him do his thing. And I mean, it just became clear pretty quickly that he did not have the tools to drive that car all by himself, because he was the alpha dog in Brooklyn. And he's that's why I love the Knicks getting him. And he'll be like the third guy, maybe fourth, maybe second. And that takes so much pressure off him and allows him to do what he does. And I think he's going to be a much better experience in New York. And plus, we're not going to take him in the...
You know what I just realized? Like, what's up with Julius Randle?
Well, he played and then he left because he was hurt. And I think he's always a little overrated because his name is bigger than his game.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if, like, are they intending on keeping him, or can they find somewhere to put him? Because that just doesn't add up with him there. It's a thought that just came through my mind. I hadn't really thought about that much in this offseason. I really wonder, how do they fit that group together and make it all work? I guess we'll cover that at some point in time on the show. I just blurted something out that was banging around my brain. My apologies, everybody. But Bridges had a little bit of a nice post-trade season for Brooklyn heading into those playoffs. So you kind of thought maybe he had the ability to take that step forward. It just didn't happen. They had really no ability to get any dribble drive penetration other than Cam Thomas for that team. I think they just were really poorly constructed and lots of chaos there in Brooklyn. Some quick bombs that I'm just going to blurt out before we get to the hits here. Jaren Jackson Jr. was sort of a bomb for me. I kind of expected him to take a step forward, and he didn't. And then Beal kind of landed on a bunch of my teams, and he just was too injured to make it happen. And it really bummed me out because he kept falling to me in drafts. And so then I had this really valuable real estate being taken up by a guy that couldn't stay on the floor. Did you have anybody else you wanted to get off your chest here before we start banging our chests?
I guess we have the same guys. I was going to talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. I was also super high on Desmond Bane, and I feel like he was living up to the hype, and then he got hurt. And literally every player on Memphis has a red cross by his name still today. They may never go away. I don't know. I was super high on Desmond Bane. He got hurt and missed most of the year. Tried to come back at the end, which was weird. Right? Like, why? That's still one of the mysteries of last season to me, is why did Desmond Bane come back and play like three games and then shut it down again? Like, the team was going nowhere. He had nothing to prove. It was weird to me. But yeah, I got brainwashed by Jonas back in my Roto-World days, and he was to Jaren Jackson Jr. as I am to Luka, and I'm still a little brainwashed by that. And Jaren Jackson Jr. has not lived up to the hype.
No, it's I mean, we covered that, I think, two or three different episodes. So go back into the catalog and see if we can get to like the Memphis Grizzlies review, and you could get our complete thoughts on Jaren Jackson Jr. there. But I just didn't do anything well. And then the Bane, I mean, the fact that they fell apart the way that they did really impacted everybody there. And I was big on Bane the prior year and had gotten sort of screwed, you know, for lack of a better term, out of the value there. And I had him high this year, but I did not get to him nearly as much, if at all, really, because the hype had finally caught up. And I mean, I was fine with the value he was bringing. I Desmond Bane guy through and through. Now the injuries will be something left to consider going forward.
Walker Kessler was terrible. And then the Thompson twins, especially out there in Detroit, I was like, how can this guy not ball out? Like, how is it not going to happen? And somehow Monty Williams was like, no, we're going to try to win every game and we're going to play our veterans and not the kids. Whatever.
Yeah, that was just Tom Gores, everybody. Tom Gores. Oh. All right. Let's get into our hits here. Let's bang our chests. Let's also promote. We have a 4th of July promo, 24% off for 4 months. Check that out. Check it out on Ethos Fantasy NBA, Ethos Fantasy NFL, our Twitter accounts. Follow those and get your promo codes and do all that fun stuff. I have a couple hits at the top of the list. I don't want to spend too much time on. I just want to point out that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander really answered the bell for us this season. You know, almost ranked him number one over Jokic in 9-cat, and it ended up being the case that Jokic got it done, but it was close. And then KD, Kevin Durant, was one of my safety blankets. Whenever I got a pick in the bottom of the first round, it just went KD. I think I was taking him as high as 6th, and he just delivered. So that's great. Then as I work down my list, I think my favorite ones, I don't want these to get buried at the end of the episode. My favorite ones were the Jalens. We had Jalen Johnson, Jalen Williams, and Jalen Duren. Duren didn't perform as well as the other two. I'll save some comments for down the road here on him. But like Jalen Johnson in particular, first of all, if Kyle Kuzma doesn't cheap shot him on a fast break, we're talking about like a third round finish, you know, for him, something like that off the top of my head. He jumped off the page in the playoffs the prior season. And I was getting basically, you know, told by Andre, our producer here, who did a lot of my data entry because of the thoracic outlet syndrome that keeps me from typing. And he's, you know, I don't know, man. I think we should tap the brakes here a little bit. I was like, oh, well, let's go to the film. And then we watched the film and it was like, no, man, we're going for it. And so he was not even barely being drafted. He was getting taken in the 170s, 160s, and the we're getting them in the last round, you know, pretty much everywhere. And it was just really an interesting thing. I think there were some other folks that had him on the radar. It was a lot of victory laps going on out there for Jalen Johnson. And, you know, we had him at 75 in the B150. And so that to me was my favorite, I think, play of the season, just seeing it and then going to the film, making sure that everything was what it was. And then just going for the high rank and having it more or less pay off. So that was my favorite.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a savory sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and crispy hash browns. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Who was your favorite? I mean, this is stupid. You guys hear me talk about it all the time, but I would literally went all in on Wembanyama. And I drafted him way too early, according to nearly everyone. And the reality is that I didn't. I just went all in on Wimby, and he turned out to be what I thought he was going to be. And I'm not saying I know more than anybody else. I got lucky, and I won leagues. I won 30 deep because of it. And I love the fact that I listed him high. I ranked him high. I told everybody I was taking him high, and I did it, and it worked. And it just, that doesn't happen every day. But Victor Wembanyama and Luka Doncic both, I kind of have gone all in on them from day one. And it's been a pretty fun ride. And other guys, you know, all I really need to do is go down this 30 deep roster. And it seems like everything I touched turned to gold this year. Kobe White. What a year Kobe White had. And yeah, he was frustrating, some terrible shooting at times, but he just came out of nowhere and kind of went off. And I don't think a lot of people thought he had that in him. I think people saw him his first couple of years like, you know what, he's never going to be any better than this, but he turned out to be great last year. Now I kind of can't wait to watch him play in Chicago. He's probably going to be playing off the ball now that Josh Giddey is their probable point guard. I guess those guys can switch. Like, they can both play point guard or shooting guard. But anyway, Kobe White was super fun. Cam Thomas, who, if you look at Brooklyn's roster right now, it is absolutely awful. Like, it's laughable. And Cam Thomas is going to be the guy that they're going to. And his shooting percentage, like Kobe White's, is going to be probably horrific, but he's also going to score 40 points every third game. So I had Cam Thomas on that team. I had Austin Reeves. It was just a really, really fun team to have in a 30-team league. So those are some of my hits. I'm sure there were others that I'm not thinking of on my other teams, but last year was good, man. I felt like almost most of the guys I went all in on, and most of the guys that were on my guy list, my guys, they went off.
Yeah, it was a good year over here, too. I think it was 5 out of 6, pardon me, high-stakes entries had a top three finish or better. I mean, they won a lot of money last year, a lot of money. Something like 30 grand we won last year. And Yeah. And I felt like we didn't, you know, what's his name? Bodhi from, what's the Keanu movie? FBI. I'm an FBI agent. Point Break. Thank you, Brain, for working. I feel like Bodhi looking for like the perfect wave. You know, I want like all my picks to hit it once in one year, and I want to win everything at first place in every, and maybe that's, maybe that's not even good. Like, maybe that's just trying to go for, try to thread the needle too well. But this last year,
you just hit it right on the head, man. Bodie and Point Break. You want every guy that is your guy to come together in one season. And that is why I much prefer redraft leagues than I do dynasty, because you know, you're not really drafting your guys at all in dynasty. You're just drafting rookies or whatever. But there's nothing better than the day that, you know, actually 5 minutes after your draft is over and you've gone to the bathroom and you've grab the beer and you sit down at your computer and you pull up your roster and you start looking at it. And that for that moment, you know, the day before the NBA season starts, you look at your team and you're like, this is a great team. Like, well, sometimes you don't feel good about it, but usually you're like, there's so much hope and promise and you feel like everything's going to come together. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, you're like, I really messed that draft up. But the hope is that you catch the perfect wave, and it's so fun to draft these guys.
It's funny. I haven't even mentioned our draft tracker. As we do our various pitches to sell stuff around here, we have a draft tracker here, and I always, I'd use a different draft tracker before we developed one here. This one's so good. It is so good, Steve. Wait till you use this thing. I don't know if you had a chance to use it last year. It's amazing. But it always will tell you how your team's doing. And I always have like a standard deviation of 3 in every category, or like 10 sometimes. And I always just tell myself, okay, if I said it's a 3, it might in reality be a 1, you know. it never works out the way that you think it will. But yeah, if you catch that, and I haven't quite done it. This year was maybe my best fantasy season. I know there's been a bunch of championship seasons in the past that I'm really attached to. I had like James Harden when he lapped the field one year. I had Steph Curry's magical season that one year he shot like 50% from the field. So I've had some really magical seasons. I don't know where this one ranks, but this one was great. Part of that, you know, aside from Jalen Johnson, Jalen Williams was a big pick for me. I mean, we were getting him in the 6th and early in draft season in the 7th round. Kind of just knew he was going to be a 3rd round finish. We had a ton of James Harden, and that was a really tough one. De'Aaron Fox did well for us. Derek White actually needs to get way more love. He might actually have been my best play because everybody zigged when Drew Holiday arrived. And I literally told Andre as we were doing all of our data entry work, I said, we're going to zag here because I just think this is too good. And I had Derek White on something crazy, like 22 of 30 squads. And we were getting a little greedy waiting for him to drop in certain situations. Herb Jones, Miles Bridges. I mean, the entire fantasy universe just turned their back on him. And we quite literally got him at pick 192, you know, almost all the time. And that really helped power things along. And that one, I like that one because it was a news digging pick, you know,
but, classic. You know, I'm kind of upset about the Miles Bridges thing because I was all in on him and I was writing about him and I was talking about him. And some of the other places that I have worked were like, well, you can't do that. Like, we're not going to feature this guy. He's got all this baggage over his head, all this legal baggage over his head. And we're not going to do it. We're not talking about him. And it kind of, instead of getting mad and being like, well, whatever, I'm sticking up my guns, I sort of like shied away from talking about Miles Bridges. I shied away from drafting him. And I'm mad at myself for not sticking with it, because at the very beginning I was all in. I was like, oh my gosh, everybody's going to forget about this guy, but they're just going to throw lobs to him and he's going to ball out. And that's what happened. And I faded him at the end and didn't, I got him in a couple leagues, but not nearly as many as I would.
People were like shaming people for drafting him. And I'm just sitting there going like, okay, 25% of the league has baggage of some type. You know, they've had baggage in years past, and now that wave has passed and everybody's still drafting those players. And I just thought the shaming of it, you know, it's like, we're all adults here. We all understand that we can both play a fantasy game and then also understand the off the court stuff in the context that the off court stuff is happening. And it created a really crazy opportunity. I haven't seen that in a fantasy situation in a very long time, where, you know, third, fourth, fifth round value, however you want to project it, was just sort of sitting there available
at the end. Like, it's crazy. And you're right. I got shamed into it, dude. I literally got made to feel guilty for drafting Miles Bridges, and so I didn't do it. And that's just wild. We're playing a game called fantasy basketball,
and people are shaming each other. And
that's the world we live in today, I guess.
Yeah, holier than thou. But that the news. I like that pick because the news. If you've been a blurber and you've chased news, and one of the things, my favorite memories of working at RotoWorld was the pride everybody took in finding the news nugget. Like right now, everybody just wants to kind of, you know, tweet about fantasy a little bit here and there, but like to actually find the news the way that we all got trained to do it, and to be proud about finding that little nugget that people never can find. And, you know, it was just tucked away in this podcast with the Hoops Hype podcast, where Steve Clifford went full barrel. Like, this guy's gonna play 50 minutes a game and he's never gonna leave the court. And you're like, but Steve, it's only a 48 minute game. He's like, I don't care, you know. And I'm like, man, like, I'm going to clean up on this. And, you know, our ranking of him was originally 56, and then there was the thing that put everybody over the edge, the kind of the rehash of another incident.
Mm-hmm.
And then that thing was so weird. It just, nothing passed any sort of like, kind of like, nothing made any sense at all. And I was like, I don't think that's going to like create a suspension, you know? And so there it went. Other one, Herb Jones, I thought was good, because everybody just piles on Herb Jones. He has a bad game and everybody jumps ship. And I think he finished like 40 or something. And yeah, so some good picks. Jalen Duren, I thought
Chet was there. I thought Chet was like, I stuck to my guns on Chet too. Nobody shamed me into not drafting Chet. So I went all in on Chet, and I went all in on Jalen Williams. And I love that. And then you were going to talk about Jalen Duren.
Yeah, I mean, we had him, you know, really, you know, kind of earlier than everybody else. And then, you know, he had what it took, and just injuries, just really, for a young guy, not a great start on the injury front. And you kind of worry about those ankles. Hopefully he gets that, you know, fixed. So I think that's enough banging of the chests, you know. Make sure you check out the B150 after.
Well, I have one more comment.
Yeah,
I can't decide if Herb Jones is a good fantasy player or not. I think he is. If you build your team right and then throw Herb Jones in the middle of it, like he can solidify the whole thing, sort of like tie the whole team together with a bow. But if you don't build the team right and you take Herb Jones, he's not going to help. He's not going to help. So I really think it depends on who else you've got as to whether or not Herb Jones is good or not.
That's an extraordinary point, because like we had Herb. We had him ranked really high, but also so many of our guys get steals. So it was like, okay, do we need any more steals than we already have? And the answer is no. And so there's, there's this, if you just find a way to get your steals elsewhere. And it's a kind of a market efficiency thing. If you can find a way to get your steals elsewhere and then bring Herb in, that's crazy. That's crazy. Like, he can just be available at the end of drafts and you can just shore up that category, you know. And it's a little risky if you do that kind of stuff. It's the same thing with the blocks guys, you know, the Walker Kessler and the, Jaren Jackson Jr. It's like, if they go down, you go down. And so there's the downside of it. But I think that's going to do it for us here today. Tomorrow we'll be back at it with the Hidden Gems, not an Adam Sandler movie about Adam getting stoned and losing his gems. But that could be a good sequel, maybe. I don't know. Like, subscribe, follow the show, @AaronBruski, @DrA. Make sure you get in on that 4th of July promo. Check out at Ethos Fantasy NBA and at Ethos Fantasy NFL for the most recent promo tweets on that. And yeah, thank you, Steve. Thank you, Andre, for producing a wonderful show as usual. Thank you to all you out there who support us and listen and send us all that great feedback and give us the ideas that you've been giving us for the show. It's been great. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island.
He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.